Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps, and thanks.
The tidal marshes of the lower Connecticut River that feed into Long Island Sound are popular spots for migrating birds to rest up, feed, or spend the night. Producer Lori Sanders went to one of these marshes to witness one of the most spectacular yet little-known events on the Eastern Flyway.
It's about 6 o'clock, dinner time, as we head out into the marshes of the Connecticut River. We're in Old Lyme in Lord's Cove, about a half mile from Long Island Sound. It's low tide right now, and the exposed mudflats and extensive shallows are perfect feeding grounds for herons, sandpipers, and other shorebirds. The water is mirror still, and in the intense angled light of the late afternoon, the marsh plants look like they're glowing.
So we just watched the edges here for leaf bitterns and saurer rails.
That's Noble Proctor, one of Connecticut's best birders and all-around naturalists. His friend and fellow birdwatcher Hank Gallette is at the wheel. During the next half hour or so, the two spot lots of great birds. But as nice as those birds are, they're not the reason we're here. Gallette jokes, they're just the pre-show. We're here to take in the gathering of hundreds of thousands of tree swallows, an avian event of unrivaled proportion that Gallette is credited with discovering back in the mid-1970s.
There's a few swallows on the water over there, I guess, but that's nothing.
It's just a taste of what lies ahead. You really know when it's going to happen is when you look upriver, and as far as you can see on the horizon, there'll be black bands of swallows coming. It's like a flood wave coming down.
As the sun sinks lower on the horizon, the tree swallows begin to arrive. Where there were just a few a minute ago, now there are thousands coming from every direction.
Now take a look at the binoculars. Just look into that and see the density. It's incredible.
And that's nothing yet.
That's a warm-up group. They look like gnats. It's interesting because even after doing it for 15, 16 years, I get as excited as coming out the first time.
15 or 16 years ago is when Proctor first came out with Gallette and their mutual friend, Roger Torrey Peterson. Peterson has been called the John James Audubon of the 20th century, an artist, educator, and supreme naturalist. His field guide series is credited with rekindling America's interest in natural history.
To have Roger Peterson, who's seen 500,000 flamingos on a lake at one time, to say this is one of the greatest ornithological phenomena he's ever seen, says an awful lot about what we're getting a chance to look at.
Proctor and Gallette remember that outing vividly. Everything worked, the weather, the swallows. Peterson would later write in Birdwatcher's Digest that in his entire lifetime of birding, he'd never witnessed a spectacle more dramatic than the twisting tornadoes of tree swallows plunging down into the marsh from the sky after sundown. And he'd never known about it, even though he lived only a few miles away for 40 years. Gallette cuts the engine. We've arrived at his favorite viewing spot. In front of us is a low island covered with phragmites. These tall reeds can grow 12 feet in a single season and form dense stands that, for us, are virtually impenetrable. And in the lower Connecticut River, this is the largest and densest stand of phragmites, and it's where the tree swallows prefer to roost. By roosting here together, the birds gain some protection. Proctor says it's basically a numbers game. The more birds in the roost, the less likely it is that you'll be the one that gets picked off by a Cooper's hawk or peregrine falcon. Now, as the sunset peaks, so do the swallows. They fill the sky from the horizon line to the clouds. Proctor estimates there are more than 100,000 tonight. By mid-October, the number will swell to more than 500,000.
We're starting to spin a little.
As the colors of the sunset fade, the swallows have formed a tighter and tighter mass over the marsh. Their flight has become more organized, whirling in mass. And then, all of a sudden, responding to some unknown cue, they start diving down into the marsh.
Well, they go. They just dropped out.
Yep.
The upper group is dropping out right now. Watch them dropping down. Just go straight over the phragmites down low. But here comes another big group in.
We watch without speaking as this swirling mass of birds descends into the marsh before us. It's not gentle gliding. They're plummeting into the reeds. And in 5 minutes, it's over. The sky is empty of swallows, and all 100,000 or so are in the phragmites. Proctor says whenever he watches the descent, he always wishes he could have a different vantage point.
What I would really like to see is I would love to be at the bottom of the vortex and see where that many go Because the bottom of the vortex is probably just 100 feet across, if that.
There are still so many questions about this phenomenon. What initiates their descent? How do the swallows know to come here? Do they come back night after night? And where are they coming from? Based on the fact that they can fly 25 miles an hour, Proctor guesses these birds are coming not just from other parts of Connecticut, but also Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and definitely flying across the Sound from Long Island.
So what we saw tonight is stunning, but five times that is going to appear, or even more, eight times that, so that it will be a perfect jet black V out against that sunset.
And Proctor says, until you've seen that, you want to keep coming back. And even after you've seen it, you'll want to see it again. For Living on Earth, I'm Laurie Sanders in Old Lyme, Connecticut.
On the next Living on Earth, fishermen feeling the squeeze in the push for more offshore wind energy.
There's going to be winners and losers in the process. I think it's a matter of sizing the industry so that we can have a sustainable fishery and a sustainable industry to harvest those fish.
Managing our crowded coast next time on Living on Earth.